This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Thanks to our guest today, Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago, Dan Shulman. It was fun talking to Dan about his process in the booth and calls he remembers, calls he likes, calls he doesn't like. He didn't like the Rajay Davis call in Game 7 back in 2016. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black, our great producers. That's a good line, Sylvie. Nicely done. Crosstalk is brought to you by PropSwap. Our guys Luke and Ian are standing by us during the pandemic. We're standing by them. PropSwap.com, your home to buy and sell sports bets, and they're offering up the chance to golf with Yurko, as we've been talking about at Sandy Pines. And Jake had sent a note to me on Twitter, said he was having trouble finding that page, so I tweeted the link to him. So if you follow me on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco, you'll be able to see that tweet, and you can just click on it. Again, it's ESPNChicagoContests.com. So
Carm, do you know what they're doing in Florida right now? They're about to do?
What they're about to do in Florida.
Party. Take a guess.
Party's a good guess. Smoke
probably
dope.
I think they wave goodbye.
Is it the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
No,
Carm. This
launch
is something.
Launch a spacecraft?
Yes,
SpaceX.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I see, disturbing space stuff that freaks me out, I think of you. So
disturbing space stuff?
I'm scared of it. I'm scared of space.
They're launching a new rocket that NASA did in conjunction with SpaceX. Is that right?
I believe so. And the guys are sitting in the cockpit right now.
They were supposed to do it this morning. You said cockpit,
yes.
Right?
I said cockpit.
And I think the weather was a problem this morning. Yeah.
They're still scheduled for liftoff.
They said.
It's picking our house because my son loves NASA.
Oh, good
so
for him.
Loves space. Yeah. So we've got this on.
So they said, I guess NASA was saying that they believe it's the safest rocket ever designed, because apparently this thing from like top to bottom has. I was listening to it this morning. Like, there are fail safes basically from like top to bottom. So if anything were to go wrong anywhere at any moment during launch and ascent, it could jettison the capsule, away from the rocket, where the astronauts would land safely down over the Atlantic. Like, that's kind of amazing. So we'll see how it goes. God bless. And the more we can, listen. Like Star Trek, right? You got to push the boundaries of what we know.
The last frontier?
Let's keep going. Keep searching. Let's get to Mars. Let's do it.
One of my favorite interviews we've done in a really, really long time was, when we had the contest for who's the biggest name person that would call in, was the interview we did with the astronaut. The woman that was the astronaut?
Yes.
It was really cool.
The stories are spectacular.
Oh, yeah, I mean, right?
Really cool experience.
And Abdallah thinks she's making it all up, right? Because the Earth is flat and we never...
No, he doesn't think she's making it up.
Abdallah, I'm kidding.
He still thinks that the first one was fake to beat the Russians.
Yes.
Maybe
he's
Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong.
Not right, Carmen.
John Glenn.
Don't fuel that.
I just like to get him going. Watch. He's going to get on the mic, and I'll say, have you ever seen the video, and why was the wind not blowing the flag, and yada, yada, yada.
Carm, I want to know, from the
Stevie
from the
Wonder,
shots,
blah, blah, blah.
Stevie Wonder.
The shots on the moon, why you can see, the horizon doesn't go on forever, and I know the simple answer is the moon's much smaller than the Earth, but I would think it would be big enough so that you couldn't see to the end of the horizon.
To the end of the horizon.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
I can understand why it would. I get it. I mean, I tend to believe it's like, Michael being suspended for a year and a half. Could they really keep that quiet for 30 years? Probably not.
Well, could you argue that it hasn't been kept quiet?
By Abdallah?
But there's no
there's no proof.
Well, wouldn't there somehow, some way, somebody be able to show the world definitive proof?
Right. Even Michael's not that sacred. You know what I'm saying? Even Michael, as good as he was in this and that, if something was there, it would be out. Somebody would
not just that, but think about how Michael had taken the sport from one level and escalated it to this entirely different level.
Mm-hmm.
David Stern was a great commissioner and a great businessman. There's no way that they would. I'm just playing the hypothetical game. If there was something, you're not suspending him for a year and a half. Because
instead of doing it quietly, instead of you suspended Pete Rose, You know, and like, and now if you hide it, now you don't hurt your sport. You don't hurt like future people thinking about gambling, and you don't hurt Michael's rep. Him.
The evidence was overwhelming.
Right.
They had guys that were coming out and saying, "Hey, I ran bets for Pete. I did horses.
They had a log, didn't they? Didn't they have a bookmaker's log?
There was no gambling evidence.
I believe it. I'm saying I'm not dismissing it.
Tommy, wasn't the thing that sunk him? They had a bookmaker's log, and his name was in it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think there was a guy that was involved in gyms and. Who was his name? Peters, whatever his name was. Peters.
Yeah,
he was or something
involved
like.
In gyms. Jim Baker, Jim Schmidt.
I think he was a lifter.
Jimmy the Lion.
I think if you needed some steroids, you could probably call him up. You could also get a line on the late basketball game. I mean, there are a lot of things that this guy could provide you.
Shady stuff. Yeah. But, I don't think we talked to you guys yesterday about the MJ audio, where for years he's wanted to deny it, but.
I'm shocked this audio came up.
And now he's on tape saying it.
Oh my gosh, Carm, I am so surprised that Michael Jordan didn't want
No.
But on the team.
So then
I'm shocked that he lied.
Do you believe in Yurko's theory that he had to lie because of how bad that looks?
Yeah, you don't want to make yourself
lying
look like
for
that.
Necessity because of necessity.
It's deny until you get caught.
And now he's caught. Does that make him look worse or not really?
He didn't care.
Well, it depends on what your initial perspective was. Like, if you're a sycophant of Michael's, you're still defending him for this. I don't think you can defend this. This is just another view into him being an imperfect person like all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And his into his maniacal nature, right?
I mean, when he said this, Carm, I always believed that it was a team effort. I always believed Michael didn't want him on, and rightfully so. I mean, he wasn't a good sport. They didn't get along. He would have affected the chemistry. He deserved it. He was the best 12 players in the league. But
I mean, that's
like
when you can say, well, Michael's not being a very good sport either then, right?
I think you can. Yes. I think you can.
You're going to say Isaiah's not a good sport. Michael's not being a good sport either.
This was a volunteer thing. They were volunteering their summers. This was the first time they went pro. They didn't have to do it. So they had to talk these guys into it, and there were stipulations that some guys wanted. They had the power. We're talking about negotiations now. Who had the leverage? Karl Malone didn't like Isaiah Thomas. You know, there were other guys. Magic Johnson had a fallout with Isaiah Thomas. Go back to the Celtics Pistons series. No one ever talks about this as Isaiah plays the victim.
Yeah.
And some of the racist things being said in that series.
Oh, sure.
Between the Celtics and the Pistons when Rodman and Isaiah had to apologize for what they were saying about Larry Bird.
That's true.
So Larry Bird didn't like him.
If based on merit, you belonged on that team, which you just said he did, right? Like we all agree he belonged on that team.
He was good enough to be on that team.
Good enough to be on that team.
He was the best 12 players in the league.
If his spot on the team isn't secured because everyone decided they didn't want him on the team, that's not exactly being a great sport.
No, that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carmen. I think that you're using your power that is, that you have. I get that. But, that's not the biggest sportsmanship move in the face of the planet.
No.
To be honest.
But I guess Michael doesn't care. And maybe you're right.
He doesn't. I mean, look, he's got faults. I mean, isn't that...
He does.
Didn't the documentary show us that?
Yes, absolutely did. You're right. We all do.
Like, I'm not like this whole big thing, the gotcha moment. I'm not surprised. I didn't believe Michael to begin with that.
Yeah, that's... I think we all sort of knew that. Yeah.
I don't believe Isaiah when he came on our show and he said that they didn't freeze out Michael in 84. I believe they totally freezed Michael out of the All-Star game in the, I think it was 85 then.
85, I agree with you.
Yeah, they thought he was the flashy rookie and George Gervin and Isaiah Thomas and Magic, and they're like, leave the kid out.
Well, why?
Yeah, Isaiah's defense is flimsy there about, I was only, 4 years into the league. Isaiah was already, by that point, one of the league's best players.
Do
you know what serves as evidence of that? The way that they treated Kobe as a group later. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it may not have been an apples-to-apples comparison, but, look, the older guys stay in a clique. The guys, there are cliques, and there is some ganging up that goes on. It's the way it is.
They always gang up on the young hotshot, right? It's like Michael and Scotty ganging up on Tony, you know? It's like, we're going to gang up on the young hotshot now, you know?
Tony didn't care.
No, Tony. To Tony's credit, he didn't.
Tony went, got dinner, took a nice big dump.
Exactly.
Prepared for the game.
That's the best.
That's how I get ready for golf or a game of cards.
Absolutely.
Bottle of wine.
Yeah, I call it. Yeah, we're going to play some cards later tonight. Let me get my Tony in first.
Tony,
you know, dinner.
Tony took it all in stride. He came out looking better than anybody in the documentary. Yeah. I'm happy for Tony.
All he did was play.
Yes, of course.
Hey,
God bless him.
You want to get your ball? Give me the ball. You don't want to give me the ball? Don't give me the ball. Stand in the corner at the three-point line and wait to shoot.
I love it.
You want to sit? I'll make the shot.
You want to sit, Scotty? I make shot. Yeah.
And he said, he goes, I made this shot, but it's hard to celebrate. You know, we knew something was going on.
It's probably why MJ wanted him as his golf partner as much as he did. A, because he's a good player, and B, because like he doesn't get rattled.
No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got the perfect demeanor, I think, for a high-stakes game of golf.
Totally. I agree with you. Have you ever played golf with Tony?
I have not. Yeah. No. I've seen him at different places. And, you know, but I hear, I've got guys that have played with him.
I heard he's good.
Great.
Like, you know this. I mean, look at what Tony grew up with, growing up with, with what was going on with his country. And and you think he's worried about a couple of basketball players in an Olympics?
Matter of fact, he was impervious to it. He had no idea that they were going to come out and, you know, do what they did to him in 92 in the first game they played. He responded in the championship game, had a better game. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. Well,
whatever. We knew we were going to play him.
He was already calloused. I mean, he was. Like, when you grew up in a war-torn region like that throughout your childhood, like, you kind of have a certain edge and toughness about you already.
Yes. And
that's why standing over a 3.5-foot putt for, $10,000 really isn't, you're not sweating that.
The stuff over there didn't start till 1990. So, you know, there was a little bit of friction, and there was a little bit back and forth, and there was a little bit of they created a council in the late 80s, and so it looked like it could be heading into a bad direction or a direction that might lead to something. So there were some tensions in Once Brothers, it's chronicled.
Yep.
You get the exact kind of timeline of when, you know, things started to go sideways over there. So if anybody
Him
wants
and Vlade were like
that,
really good friends, right?
Well,
and then they weren't?
Yes, they were all. Stojko Vrankovic, Dino Raja, they were on those teams. So.
Petrovic.
Yeah. So, you know, they all played together as part of Yugoslavia back then, and they were winning championships.
Yep.
I mean, that was a good team that they had put together. So.
Didn't we also get some audio from a Thuzio event with Scotty saying that he thought that Kobe was better than Michael?
Well, and you know, he did say that right, I think it was right around the All-Star break, so, you know, Kobe had died just a few weeks before. And so maybe that was on his mind.
It was the same Thuzio event. Things keep leaking from the same event, Waddle. This is the same event where he said that he'd been fired by the Bulls.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then now that this has now leaked out, and I'm just saying, a source has told me he was quite thirsty that night. Mm. Okay, so do you want to play this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on my
screen.
Hold on.
He's thirsty?
No, no.
Oh, no, I think you can kind of tell. And, like,
let's go to cut 19,
I don't know that it's
guys.
On my screen anymore, guys. Tyler, can
cut
you...
Cut 19, please.
It was on... Chris Black had it up on the screen
please.
Yesterday, but I don't see it now. I think he may have taken it down. You got to ask Chris what
it's on our Mount Rushmore of audio clips.
Well, it must be a different page.
Hold on, Tyler's looking for it.
Has Scotty broken up with the Bulls or Larsa more?
That with Larsa. Ask Chris. Chris, where's the Scotty thing from yesterday? The Chris is getting it. Hold on. The Thuzio cut. Okay.
You know, I hate that we didn't tell him how great he really was, because he strived so hard to be Michael Jordan. And when I go back and I look at his videos and I say to myself, damn, he was better than Michael Jordan, because he worked so hard. He put it in. This kid came out of high school. He didn't go play for North Carolina under Dean Smith. Like, he worked at his craft, bilingual. Like, God bless his soul.
Okay,
I don't know.
There's the door.
I don't know what bilingual has to do with being a better basketball player.
He's just putting phrases together. Bilingual. Playing, work hard.
And I'm not work hard. Bilingual. North Carolina.
Carm, you've hosted a few of those Thuzio events.
I have.
I did one. I hosted with Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Like, at some point, you look over towards the bartender and give him the old-fashioned, you know.
Yeah, like, cut him off. Yeah.
No more. No more.
Like, I'm the last guy that should be looking at the bartender and saying, hey, can no more for this guy over here.
A lot of libation. Yeah, and I don't know what Scotty's thinking there. I mean, Kobe's a carbon copy. I mean, we all know that. I mean, he wanted to be Michael. He modeled his game after Michael. Kobe's going to go down as probably the last great mid-range player because the game has just changed so much. Like Michael, he just killed teams and defenses mid-range. I mean, he was, you know, and Kobe was great. Was he better than Michael? I don't think so. But Kobe's a top 10 player. Are they close? Yeah. The margins are probably thinner than most people want to admit or think. When you get to the top 10 players of all time in NBA history, the margin's pretty thin. Let's face it. Was Michael, you know, he certainly wasn't exponentially better than Kobe Bryant. Do I think Michael is still the best of all time? I do. But, you know, I don't know. Scotty just kind of seems
one
like he's rambling.
One minute he says
there,
one thing, the next he says another. Tell the story really quick. I know we have to break. I love this story, and I know I always ask you to repeat it, and I don't remember the last time I asked you because my brain is scrambled. But tell the story again when Scotty came up with the agreement to be the ambassador with Bulls.
Yurko and I told it again recently because people were making a big deal, like, oh, again, you know, look at the Bulls. They've turned their back on Scotty, and they didn't want him back as an ambassador. First of all, Scotty's lived in L.A. for, like, the last 4 years. I mean, how are you an ambassador for the Chicago Bulls living in Los Angeles? That's number
Shut
one.
Shut your mouth, Carm.
But he basically...
He doesn't tweet either.
There was a lunch. There was Scotty saying, you know, I could really use this right now. It'd be a great help. The Bulls saying, okay, Scotty, we'll help you out. But we really need you to embrace this. You know, you've got to want to do this, and you're going to have to be, you know, doing chalk talks before games like Wennington does with the fans, and you're going to have to, you know, be an ambassador. Got done. No problem. They're riding in the limousine back after lunch to the United Center. This is before the atrium and all that was built. So the Jordan statue is still outside, and you guys know people are always, tourists, whomever, are always around that Jordan statue, and as that's where you pull in to go into the offices, in the old days anyway, into the Bulls and Blackhawks offices. That's how you got in. And Scotty said, take me around to the player side. I don't want to see these fans.
I don't want to have to deal with them.
This is the day of the lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, so lest anyone think that the Bulls turned their back on Scotty, let's take it easy, everybody, okay? I love Scotty, but I mean,
hold on. There's a phone call from Eddie Johnson. Hold on.
That was good, too.
That's funny, Yerk. Yeah. All right, boys. What's up on the show today?
Hey, guess who's back today? Barstool Big Cat's back at 4.
Nice.
Tell me some hello.
And we have Michael Wilbon at 5 o'clock today. We'll talk about the owners versus the players. I think there are some fans who have this confused, and I would like to set the record a little bit straight today. So,
all right.
312-332-3776.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Waddle and Sylvie are next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Summertime type Wednesday here in the city of Chicago. Weather is nice. I know we're expecting some rain around the area.
We got some yesterday, like in the middle, like for an hour. Like right. We were doing an interview with somebody and like lightning, just you could hear the thunder and the lightning. And then I turned around about 30 minutes later, it was gone and it was warm again.
One of those days where depending where you are in Chicago, you could be totally having different weather. In one area and the other area could be having thunderstorms.
This is one of those days. Well, the last few days have been like just a reminder that when the weather is good, there's no better town in the country. I think. I'm biased.
Well, I haven't been reminded. I mean, it's not like I've been walking down Michigan Avenue to be reminded. Well, but yes, it is easier to go outside these days.
I'm just saying this town, I mean, I think your memory serves you correctly, doesn't it? When you were capable of going down Michigan Avenue, that during the times when the weather is good, this is a spectacular town. When
of
the weather
course.
Goes sideways, it sucks. It's like anywhere else.
Right. But I'm just saying that right now, nothing has reminded me of that. You know, just because it's warm out, it hasn't been a reminder that, hey, this is a great summer city because everything's still shut down.
Well, it's shut down most places.
Yes.
Can I just like the damn weather in this town for a second?
Yeah, just all you need to say. Yeah, right, right. So Shams just tweeted, the NBA is working on multi-phase medical safety protocols towards a restart of play. Current projections have in-market training camps in July, then camps scrimmages in Orlando, then resume play late July, early August. So as Abdallah and I were just talking about, pretty much the same timeline as the NHL.
My guess is they're going to flip the schedule too, aren't they? Like when they get started, and maybe do you think that is one of their plans? That's not, you know, at the top of their brain, but you know, starting later.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, like
doing what
going
we've talked
forward.
About for a while about owning the summer in real times,
right?
That NBA, that they don't have to go up against the NFL. They don't have to worry about October and November games getting ratings when college football is hot and there's Major League Baseball playoffs and the NFL is going on. That a lot of people say, well, I don't watch the NBA until Christmas anyway. And maybe you just open on Christmas and then it's a winter sport and then all the way through the summer. And then you get in the what normally is the dog days of summer, the bright side to all this, the silver lining to this dark cloud is that it could put you at a totally new restart.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when basketball, I would not be shocked at all if they on the fly they decide to change their season schedule going forward for all those reasons. Would not be surprised at all. Whereas like hockey, you know, I mean, they're going to be depending on what they decide to do, you can condense some stuff, but if their plan goes off, you know, as expected, they're butting up right against, you know, against going back to work.
Yeah, you're playing hockey in the winter too.
Yeah.
So 312-332-3776. And then the funniest part of all this is baseball seems to have the furthest to go. You know, they have this financial issue that they're dealing with on top of, hey, the logistical issue. And it seems like they have the quickest timeline. They want to be playing real games before either the NHL or NBA are even in training camps.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to be playing like around the 4th of July or the first, you know, the first half of July, real baseball games.
Yeah, I think that the other sports can wait a little bit because they've got most of the season in the books. And, you know, Major League Baseball, I would think they with not having anything in the books, they want to get started as soon as possible. Not surprised there.
But it's the hardest, though, as well.
Yes, no question, because they've got to come to terms with the financials of it all. So, yeah, I mean, my expectation is they will find some common ground and get started, but there's a real potential that isn't the case.
Chip's in Villa Park. Hey, Chip, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was just wondering, based on all the talk and everything that's been going on between these leagues trying to figure out how to restart their season, where they want to pick it up from, you know, the pay, logistics, all this stuff. In the end, why even bother with a truncated season and all of this? Why not just scrap it? You're not really having a true champion because you haven't played a full season. I'm just wondering, why not scrap it, sit back, truly develop a solid plan that can get you going for the next full season, as opposed to just trying to slap something together that's going to butt up potentially to the beginning of your next season. I just don't see a benefit to any of this for any of these players. I don't think you can have any records, true champions.
I
don't understand. And if you're trying to placate an audience by saying, hey, we want to bring sports back and bring some normalcy, I can't buy that either. I don't want slapped together, poorly played sports for the sake of just getting something out there. And especially if you're going to have infighting, 24 team playoffs, all this other stuff. I mean, in the end, isn't it better to just say, let's start from scratch and let's really work through all the issues, problems, and contingencies that we need to plan for? If we were to begin a season and we finally get green-lighted to say you can start in full at X date.
Well,
Did you hear Waddle muttering underneath you, Chip?
Follow the green.
Saying. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, call me a cynic if you will. I could give you I could blow sunshine up everybody's rear end about how we do all need this. But Like, I think the NBA is probably the greatest example. The NBA has a threshold, if I'm not mistaken, it was Abdallah brought this to my attention earlier today, that there is something with regard to the telecast of 70% of their games or 70 games.
70 games.
That so, they need to reach to cash in on whatever the television revenue is, correct? Fully?
Yeah, the regional networks are agreed to get 70 games. So NBC Sports Chicago, whatever it is in, you know, Milwaukee, wherever it is in LA, whatever they are, not ABC, ESPN, but the regional ones are guaranteed 70 games. And if they don't get 70 games, they have to, the NBA has to give them back some money. So because of that, they want to get every team to 70 games so they don't have to give back any money that they've already lost because they're not playing games because there's no fans, et cetera.
So again, like I mean,
what about the postseason money? That's what's worth the most.
Well,
to all these,
of course.
Well, that's the money. That's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Listen, there's
that's
green everywhere.
That's why you bring back all your teams for some sort of a play-in because you're cashing in then on the TV packages of the Stanley Cup playoffs, of the NBA playoffs, and all of that stuff. That's where the money is in the MLB as well.
Yes,
You're going to play this 80-game season. You may not make that much money, but you've got how much billions of dollars tied into the postseason?
There's no doubt. I mean, that's what I mean. It's now I understand what the caller is saying. Like, if you look at it and you zoom out and you think of just – you forget about the money, which you can't in professional sports. You can't in any business. But if you did, what he said makes sense. Players want to get paid. Owners want to get paid. You know, broadcast entities want to get paid because while they pay these franchises or they pay these leagues to telecast their games, they sell advertising, so they make money. It's just it's a chain of green that has stopped right now, and they want to get that conveyor belt of green moving again.
And you're
it's
really
simple.
There. You're on the doorstep. That's the thing. You only have to play X amount of games or figure out a way, and we could throw that at you coming up, and then we'll get into the baseball talks at 3. But, you know, there's some good ideas as far as, like, the NHL I don't think has a terrible idea. I think the NBA could follow that, and they could and then again, like by resetting their schedule where you're starting anew, the pushing of, hey, let's start in December anyway. I don't know if you're losing any ground if you try, if you're the NBA and you fail and then you want to end up starting up your next season anyway in December. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you have to lose? I think it's all worth a try. But let's talk about some play-in possibilities for the NBA and if this would interest you. All of it's on the table. We'll talk about it next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Caller brought up an interesting point. Another person put it up on Twitter that they agree, that they don't think it's worth the effort. I disagree. I mean, Waddle, you've said it this whole time. Who knows? All of a sudden, and with the weather changing, with some of the science and how good it can be, if all of a sudden we have therapeutics and boom, we've got this window and you know, it's better than we ever thought it was, and then we're not in a position to play, we would kick ourselves in the backside and we would say we should have been planning. We should have had a plan. What's the worst that could happen when you have a plan and all of a sudden you can't? Then you just fold up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying to be a wise guy, but it's not worth it for who? Like, you know, they're going back to work. They're making a living. This is what they do. They love the sport. I would think the majority of players, and I'm sure that there are some that feel differently, but the majority of players in all these sports want to get back to doing what they love to do. They've got a limited time. Like, you could work for a bank your entire life because no one's trying to rip your head off at a bank, at least physically. You know, I could work on Wall Street from the time I get out of college to the time I decide to retire. My span of being a football player or a basketball player or a baseball player is much shorter. So these guys, A, love the sport. B, these are their maximum earning years. So they want to get back to doing something they love and something that they get paid handsomely to do because they've got a skill that, you know, 99.9% of the other people on this planet don't have.
The Lakers have played 63 basketball games right now. You don't think LeBron wants to win a championship?
Yeah, they put in all that effort this year. He put his body in prime shape. Now, I know there's a stop, and not everyone's going to be in the same shape. And
they could be healthier.
Right. Of course. Sure. I will. Like I was about to say, Abdallah, you will not hear from me unless like something crazy happens about an asterisk. You know what I mean? I'm going to be... There's going to be a championship, and I'll always look at it, and we'll always analyze it and maybe think of it a little bit differently, but I'm not going to call it a fake championship.
I'm not either. I'm not a big believer in that. I mean, if you go back in time, there are plenty of championships that were won in seasons that didn't go as planned, so to speak. And by the way, can you clear? I always get this wrong. I'm a 53-year-old college-educated person.
I'm trying to
Is it asterisk or asterisk?
I think it's R-I-S-K-S,
okay,
right?
That makes more sense, because otherwise it sounds like
it's asterisk with the S-K.
Okay, good, because the
R-I-S-K.
Yes. The other pronunciation is dirty, so I don't want to go that route. So it's asterisk.
But I always sound like
asterisk. Asterisk.
Okay, good. Just make it sure, because, you know, I do want to come out, hey, don't put an asterisk over there.
Yeah,
what?
No, that's, yes. That's, and I think a lot of us default to say that.
Yeah.
But just because it's been said so many ways.
Especially guys like me that don't speak.
I've never, you know, Jay was a big especially guy, Jay Cutler. Is C-Red Fred still on the line?
Unfortunately.
Freddy,
hey.
What's on your mind?
How you doing, guys? I got some big things on my mind. I got to tell you, with this round robin coming, how excited would you be if the Bulls got into this and made the miracle, made some noise here?
I'd rather them have the top pick.
Yeah, Fred, wouldn't you rather see a lottery tournament and have the team play Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter and Kobe White come together and win? Win the first overall pick? Wouldn't you rather see them compete for that?
No, not really, because this draft is such... Hold on a sec. This draft is such a crapshoot. You could get a player who's going to be at 10, who's going to be as good as the guy at number 1.
Would you rather have the first pick or the 10th pick?
I'd rather have the first pick, but I'd rather make the miracle happen this year. Hear me out here. Before this COVID hit, we had Kobe White as hot as a firecracker. Levine's ready to rock. We're going to get Dunn back. Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri. Is it possible that AK-47?
You know what? Stop. You know what? We're all a little bit on edge right now. We all feel like we've been kicked in the balls for like 3 straight months, all right? And
you
now you're going to come out and do this to us. You know we love you, but this is silly.
Yeah,
they're not winning anything,
gotta be a
Fred.
You're doing a bet.
Do you both believe that this team has underperformed relative to their talent?
Yes. I also, Fred, don't believe that they could win a series in the East, even if you expanded it to every team in the East.
But maybe if you had Rondo and he doesn't get hurt, then you can win.
Come on,
don't
Freddy.
You throw that at me. You know that was true. We were up 2-0. We had a big guard. After hearing his thumb, we would have won that series. You know it's true.
I love your passion. I love your passion.
I think it's possible that we get a nice draft pick this year. We could be back in the playoffs next year, no doubt.
Okay. I'll buy that, but I just don't want to see them play in the postseason this year. I'd rather see them do exactly what Sylvie said. If the NBA gets creative and has themselves a lottery tournament and the Bulls win it, that's what I would like to see going forward.
You know what I love about Fred is he's so authentic. I mean, he's so ridiculous.
This is not ridiculous.
You're so ridiculous. You're like a bit. Yeah.
We're on a winning streak. What are you talking about? Oh. We won our last game. We dominated the Cavs. We're 2-3 in March. We were playing a little bit better. And we were held back by the buffoon as the head coach.
2-3 in March.
Yeah, come on.
Godspeed, guys. I love you. Keep it up. Doing a great job.
Let me take you a little behind the curtain. The C-Red Fred is just like that phone call he DMs me. He's like, hey, Sylvie, I hope that chemo thing's going okay. You have a few minutes to do a podcast with me? I want to talk about Phil Jackson.
You don't have to butter me up with the, hey, how's the chemo thing going? You guys got a relationship where you would have just said, yeah, if I got time, I will help.
No, I mean, but it's just like, Fred, I don't even know if I could swallow today, you know, if I could eat. You know, you want me to
Hey, Sylvie, in between throwing up, do you think you could come on and do a podcast real quick? 15 minutes of your time.
We could recap the whole Last Dance thing. I got a big following.
But hey, if the chemo thing's not going very well, no sweat. Don't
no
worry
sweat,
about it. I won't
no
hold
sweat.
It against
I'm not,
you.
Look, I'm not. I don't want too much from you.
He is real, though. That's why real. He and Braggs are two of my favorites because
yeah,
they,
but Braggs is more realistic. That's
it, yeah. Well, he is now, but he had to have his, you know, he, for lack of a better phrase, he had to have his face rubbed in it a little bit.
Is it not politically correct to say he's been Mitch slapped?
Wow, that was good.
You can say that.
That was good. You just did. I think, you know what? That's a T-shirt. There's a T-shirt.
He's back to reality.
A picture. How about this? Put a picture of Braggs' face with a frown on it, and underneath it says, I was Mitch slapped.
Baba, see, steroids do good things. Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, I got a question. Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
But I got a quick question. So you were talking about that you would watch the baseball this year, and to you guys, it's really no asterisk. It's you would consider it a season. So I have a question. If they play 82 games and the championship team who wins the championship only loses 20 games out of that 82, do you consider that team one of the best teams in baseball ever?
No.
No, yeah, I'm with Waddle. Unless, like, I mean – if some team goes on an incredible role.
Yeah, now we can talk.
But I understand. I understand no matter how good anybody does this year, it's an asterisk year. The team's not going to be ever considered. When you talk about top teams, it will no team from this year will ever be considered a top team. It's like the Brewers that won it in the strike season when they had two seasons or something. You know, the split season. Yeah, I mean, you just, I don't know. I just, I agree. I want baseball because I'm selfish and I got to watch something.
This is what I think. I don't think we'll. I think you can flush the extremes out. I think you just can. I think you put them in the toilet, you hit the plunger. Because whether you're the best team or you're the worst team, in terms of what you're saying, like, hey, historically, I don't think we're going to rank any of these teams historically good or bad. But you will acknowledge, or I will acknowledge, that they were the best of the lot.
And maybe along the way, you figure out a cool new way to do things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is like one of those... This is sports radio gold. We've always said, hey, what would you change about this? Would you start the NBA in December then? Would you have a postseason with more teams? Would you like to have two halves of a Major League Baseball season where you reset at the All-Star break so they're two sprints instead of one long marathon? There are like different, you can look at it a little bit differently, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You may appreciate something a little bit more. You may stumble on something by accident just because you're forced into doing it this year.
Yeah. And like, look, what if somebody hits 425? Like, nobody's ever going to say, well, you know, this was the greatest season of all time.
No.
But that's okay.
I think that people will hold it again. I think people will use the asterisks, whatever. Oh, my God.
It's a mouth
so
asterisk.
Stupid. I think people will use the little star thing next to baseball.
The star thing.
Yeah, people will use the little star
starfish?
Thing. Nope, not that.
You should call it the starfish.
People will use that for baseball because you are only playing half a season. And the only way someone will use it in basketball and hockey, but specifically basketball, obviously, because he doesn't play hockey, is that Jordan fans will use it against LeBron if he ever gets to six. They'll be like, yeah, you got six, but one of them.
That's true. I do agree with that. I'll buy that argument, but... I believe people will use it, but I won't put a lot of equity in it.
He still was, I mean, he was, as the season was winding down, he was overtaking Giannis, who many thought was going to be the unanimous MVP. And you know what? It's not like LeBron would just come out of the blue, and win a championship. He was...
Yeah.
He was putting together his pretty special season. But 312-332-3776. So, I'll give you one reason why I think a play-in tournament, not to the playoffs, but for the number one pick in the draft, would do this new Bulls regime good. And I'll bring that up coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Boys aren't back in town yet, but we're getting closer. At least we hope so.
Is Braxy back in town?
Is Braxy back in town?
Yeah,
he's back in town.
All right.
Yeah.
Boy, keeping it real? Keeping everything real at the house?
So he had three stitches, Waddle.
Wow, that's surprising because that gash looked like a good five or six stitcher.
It was wide, but it wasn't that long. And, yeah, the doctors at Northwestern did a great job on him. And he had a little
trouble.
Give
him the, did they give him the, like, the, did the plastic surgeon come in and do it? Or was it just normal?
No, they sedated him, and I think then just the normal doctor did it.
Okay.
Just like a normal doctor would give you stitches. But
right.
Because he couldn't sit still, he would never sit still. I mean, he didn't sit still for us today to change the Band-Aid. Like, just changing the Band-Aid took two of us to do, funny. And that was hard. We were both sweating after that. But we'll talk about the boys of summer here coming up at 3. Barstool Big Cat is back today at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Michael Wilbon at 5-312-332-3776. So I think what the NHL is doing, they've got a 24-team play-in tournament where they're going to give a bye to the top four seeds, and then the other teams like the Hawks, it's going to be Edmonton at the 5 seed, the 12 seed. Blackhawks will go at it in a first-round postseason matchup, and the winner then will advance. And I think that's cool, especially because it's not going to be perfect. But then they're going to take the last 7 teams, 24 teams in to play for the championship, 7 teams into the lottery. They won't be doing a tournament for the lottery, but I think the NBA should, because they've got games they've all got to make up to get this regional money. And I think it would be a perfect audition for this new front office staff to look at all these players in a real competitive environment. If this Bulls team were forced to be in a postseason tournament to win the number one overall draft pick.
Okay, let me ask you a question then, if that's the case, because there is something on the line here, right? I mean, the number one overall pick is a pretty good prize for finishing first.
Yes.
Do you make the coaching change now?
It's a great question. It's, or do you use that as the Boylan tryout? But I don't think any tryout gets him the job.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Right. No, right. Maybe you take a younger guy on your staff who you think is better, and you have him go out there. I probably would, now that I think about it. Yeah. No. If I'm playing for the number one seed, Waddle, let me smack myself. No way would I go with Jim Boylan into a tournament that meant something.
Well, that's my point. Otherwise, you just, or you come in with low expectations. But if you've got a chance to, like, I would think that of all the teams that will be competing for the number one overall pick, I give the Bulls a bit of a shot.
This, and then, like, again, these are, you're stumbling into possible solutions because you're being forced to because of the pandemic. You have to come up with ways to try and bridge the games that you haven't played yet. But, like, Damian Lillard doesn't want to come back if there's nothing for him to play for. But if, like, Portland has a chance, and I don't know if Portland would be a team because they're out of it, that would be playing for a spot in the regular postseason, or if they would be playing in a spot for the lottery. I'm not sure. There's a lot to work out here. But at least it gives then a player like Damian Lillard, if he's coming back for a shot to make the postseason, he's in then. He's playing for something. And now all of a sudden you're putting together this young team. You're conducting a training camp. You're taking Kobe and Wendell and Lowry, and you're hoping that Otto Porter's healthy, and you're hoping that you can scout this team going into next year under a real tournament where there's real stakes on the line. This number one pick could help. There's no promises. Like Fred said, you could still find a good player at 5, but you'd always rather have the number one pick than the 5th pick. And then what you would do is, maybe you come up with this solution to take away tanking in the big picture.
Right. So this doesn't just entertain us for now. It entertains us down the road, and it has staying power. The one question I would have for it is what incentive is there for someone like Damian Lillard, who's probably already made in excess of $100 million, to come back and play for a draft pick?
Because if you're Damian Lillard and you're already on the cusp of what you think can be a championship team, they went pretty far last year, remember? Where if Zion is available to be your teammate the next year, I mean, these players are hard to land, Waddle. You know that free agency is tough for a team like Portland.
So you and I think that way, but does a player who is going to have to come back get himself
the players
ready to
are
play?
The ones who recruit.
I
the get players
it,
are the one who are trying to get. So Portland doesn't always have a good chance to get a great free agent. If you can be Portland and you can, instead of having the 10th pick in the draft, and you're Damian Lillard who signed long term, wouldn't you want your team now all of a sudden to get the number one pick and possibly the following year be able to compete with the Lakers and the Clippers?
It all sounds good, but I just have a hard time believing he'd have the same incentive. If his stance is, I don't want to come back for something that's not meaningful, I find it hard to believe he'd have the same enthusiasm to come back for the draft lottery tournament.
So then incentivize it.
In the real tournament.
Incentivize it.
Well,
put
you're
some
being
money
paid. You're a pro too.
Well, but you're getting paid. No, you're getting paid to play extra games. You're playing extra games though. We didn't make the playoffs, so why am I playing an extra tournament if I didn't make the playoffs? I'm sorry, I don't get a playoff bonus.
Well, but
now I'm supposed to play for free.
I thought Sylvie's plan was that this is going to, isn't this going to
be a part of the five or six games? So you would take a pool of teams
to get to the 70 game.
Just like the NHL is taking more than their 16 that normally makes it.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is if it works and you want to do this moving forward, and in addition to the 82 games you already expected to play, and you're not getting a playoff bonus because you didn't make the playoffs, but you have to play in this extra tournament because now your organization, while you were good enough to compete in the regular season, now we want you to compete in this tournament because we've stripped you of all of your assets to tank. But now, because that's not working, we need you to play in this tournament because you were out there by yourself, Dame Lillard. Sorry, but you know you weren't good enough to make the playoffs.
No, it's a valid point.
So now you need to incentivize it. How much is this tournament going to be worth?
Well,
network.
You're going to air it. Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's my point.
And then you're
going
to give it to, you're going to give a player, what, 50 grand to play? What, 100 grand? I don't know.
The winning team should get $1 million or something like that.
I'm cool.
And divide
with that.
It up. Like, give them $5 million to divide
for that.
It. Yeah.
That's club money for some guys.
Exactly.
I mean, tip money. But I'm with you. No, I think you do. I think you make a great point. You have to incentivize it to make sure that they will be involved and give
Now's the time to experiment.
It's like what we said about the All-Star game. Pay the winning team, everyone gets, a half mil, in baseball. Do something. Even rich people like more money. Ask the owners. Right?
Yeah, the MVP of the tournament, give them $1 million.
You don't think a couple baseball players out there would like an extra couple million right now?
Yeah, right. We need to talk about that. I don't know if you guys saw. I acted this out with my son. It was the Hulk and Captain America against Darth Vader and someone else who I don't know who this guy is, but my son has taught me.
Another villain from the Star Wars.
Yes, yes. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago. So we will reenact the battle of Darth Vader against the Hulk. It is the players against the owners up in 2 minutes.